Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Cult of SMMI. I'm your host, Scott Mort. This week, we continue on with Patricia's story about her time in the SMMI. Please be aware, I have no way of verifying that what Patricia says is true. I have no way of confirming that it's false. The tales told here at the Cult of SMMI are the tales of Patricia, Mike Kovacs, several other sisters. They're not my tales. I am just here giving them a platform from which they can recount the events as best that they can remember. And I invite any current or former members of the SMMI on to either verify or refute these claims. Or their family members as well. I'll gladly have you on. I want to learn more. I want to give everybody an equal platform. That being said, on to this week's episode.
You know, how much more can I take this? So I call home and, it was weird. They locked me up, right? But they didn't take away the phone. And I said, well, I guess this is just their stupidity. So I call home and I'm telling my family what's going on. They are so afraid. They're calling the Mother General. Now the Mother General and the Mother Vicar are speaking, you know, like what's going on. And they didn't know that there was physical abuse. And so I had to live with his sister, you know. And I had insecticide sprayed by a fourth grader into my airway because I was trying to protect his two-year-old sister. You know, this was after-school program. 18 hours, I was unconscious. They didn't check up on me. So it created a lot of problems. Plus, the sister Stella allowed a benefactor to grope me while I was still a junior professed. How sick is that? You know,
that's
already
horrible.
Just got through regular stress, and this guy, he's drunk. And I ran into the bathroom so fast and I threw up. You know?
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's not just the sisters, it's not the order. I had a priest, too, in confession that got kind of handsy with me. I ran out of the confessional, like you wouldn't believe. I got in trouble for it, but I didn't care. I was like, no, no one's touching my body that I don't want them to, you know? So Mother General was saying that I'm a fighter, and she said that is good in some ways, but not in others. So she just kind of wanted, I think she wanted to break me down. So she kept sending me to all these different places. She sent me to a nursing home too. And that's where I excelled because of my nursing, you know, like I took care of, you know, the sick, the dying, and I worked extra shifts. They loved it. So that was like a peaceful time for me because I was actually doing something that I really loved, is caring for others. And so then they took me away and sent me to Montefalco to work with the Friars Minor, I guess? I don't know. But, yeah, the Friars Minors. And at that point, I was just like, you know, I was lost. And Sister Charlene, who was also a very good sister, she went to UMass, which is down the street from where I live. And at the convent, I went to UMass too, so we're alumnus. But I found out, this is what bothered me. I found out through her, but also through another sister, that they don't let sisters go home because Sister Charlene's passport expired. And that meant that she'd get arrested by the Italian police and put in jail. Okay, well, guess what? Her parents had to come up to see her because they could not send her home. And I was like, that's not fair, you know? And it's like, well, why don't you just give her passport? They won't give you your passport. They only give you like 2 lire of money. In the United States, I think they only give you a dollar in your pocket just to carry, just in case you have to call, you know, an emergency. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you didn't even have that. Sometimes the superior would take that away from you. So it all depends. Nothing was yours, okay? Nothing was yours. They even took my personal photos. They took my books, you know. I signed them off to them at a whole theological library, and it was signed off to the sisters, you know. So you didn't have anything, you know. And that was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. What I had a problem with is when another sister who came and told me all the heinous crimes that were being committed against these other sisters, like physical abuse, verbal abuse, you know, like imprisonment. And I'm just like, so I call home again. I'm like, I don't know. I need to go home. This is serious stuff. And then also I witnessed a French sister at Sigilio, Casa Benedetta, when I was at the nursing home, abuse an American sister. And she, Mother General, had her sister Stella and I think another sister apologize for being abusive to me and for me to witness abuse. They didn't want me to go home because they knew that probably I would say something because I was so straightforward about, you know what, I'm going to say something. Because I'll just tell you a little bit backstory. While I was being sexually abused, my older sister got involved and told the abuser, if you abuse one more time, we're calling the cops on you and you're going to get arrested. Well, when I found out that this abuser was going after my little sister, I was relieved. I didn't say anything. I was relieved it wasn't me. And to this day, my little sister has problems, you know, because she was sexually abused. And I'm just like, I'm not going to do this ever again. I'm going to speak up when something is wrong, a wrongdoing. I'll speak up and I'll speak up for others too. So when I heard this, I'm like, guess what? I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell the world, you know, type of thing. So the Mother General knew how I felt in the Mother Foundress. I mean, I say Mother General because she's also the Mother Foundress. I think you know that, right? Mother Patrizia, she yes. was the Foundress in general at the same time. Okay. Usually that's not the case, but in new orders it is. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to let my family know what's going on. They were not happy about it. And I'm just like, but Mother General was saying, okay, we're going to have these three people apologize to you. So they did it over the phone. And then the Mother Vicar came too. And I remember her saying, from Corinthians or Colossians, good things happen to those who love and trust God. You know, I'm not saying it correctly, and it somehow turned me around and say, okay, I can manage this. Okay, they admit their fault, you know. So I was trying to see the good in all this bad stuff that I found out. So they sent me to a retreat. It was like an anniversary, and I had to go to confession first because I called my family. It was a sin. And I told Father Aaliyah, at the time, Father Aaliyah Brewson was alive. He wasn't dealing with cancer at that time. And I told him, you know, what I was going through. And he says, you should let, you know, the Mother Foundress know. I was like, I did. Nothing was done. So he says, well, I'll talk to her. And so I don't know if they talked, but I wound up getting moved again. So I get moved back to Sigilio. This is the time when I was ready to make my final profession. I said, well, we're thinking about not making you final profess. They're threatening me because of your attitude, because of your behavior. You've got to straighten up. I was like, what did I do wrong now? You know, it's like I'm working all these extra hours. I'm hardly getting any sleep, you know, and I still manage to do prayer time. It's just, I just can't be perfect, you know. So no matter what you did, it just didn't seem like you could satisfy them.
Right. It's. no matter what, like, if they said to float on your head and you were able to do it, well, you were at a 5-degree angle, so that's not really what we want.
Exactly.
No matter what, nothing was good enough, and you got to be punished for it. And that's that's a controlling behavior.
Yeah, and they would punish you, too. It's like sometimes you would go to bed without supper. Sometimes you'd be locked up like I was. Your medicine was taken away. You were sent to a new location with a even stricter situation. So anyway, I go back to Sigilio, and there's a sister, Christina, not DeMezzi. It's a different Christina, a French sister. And she's like, oh, so she was like actually like trying to make good of the situation, I think. But she also knew she had to do what Mother General told her. So basically to break me down. So it was at a point, oh, they had a chapter meeting. Now, this was weird. I was in charge of a nursing home, okay? I was very young, okay? I was in charge of a nursing home. I had a postulant under me. They wanted her to work upstairs with the sick and dying when her vocation clearly didn't want to be around elderly. And I just said, listen, go to the hills, go to pray, go in the chapel, do whatever you got to do to keep yourself at peace with God. I'll work all the shifts. Well, I got in trouble for that. Okay. Then a Polish sister calls me on the phone and says, help. I'm being held against my will in this institution. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? So I call the chapter meeting, which you never do because that's like a big no-no. And I get in trouble, and I don't even know what happened to this Polish sister. And I'm like, I'm trying to do all the right things. We could not reach out to a bishop. We could not reach out to a spiritual director unless you had one. I didn't have one until much, much later. And then he got taken away from me, too. So, like, I think from that point, I knew something was up. And but I started becoming suicidal, and I started seeing things because I was so much under stress, and I was also dissociating because what I suffered as a child, I already had DID and didn't know it. That was very hard because I didn't know like a lot of things that were happening because I was dissociating. So if there was any bad things, I couldn't even tell you. You know, unless I was in that personality. And that's the truth of it. And I think one other sister, she said she was dissociating too. The abuse was horrible. It broke your soul, your mind, your heart, your body. It broke everything, you know. And it was really, really hard to just wake up in the morning and try to even feel any sense of purpose. You know, or just even want to survive. Who wants to survive under that, you know?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of sisters who suffered a lot worse than I did. I witnessed so much stuff, but also when I was final professed, when that finally happened, I couldn't go home. They said I had to get professed in Rome, so I never went home. Okay, so what happened is I got professed, and then they sent me to Turkey. And that's where I think they're waiting until I was more, you know, like a mature sister. So I have an issue with my ankle. I was praying like you're supposed to pray. My foot fell asleep. I stood up. Guess what? Snapped my ankle, you know, or part of it. It was like size of a baseball. They had to bring me to the hospital on Ash Wednesday. I remember this because the doctor says I have to eat. I can't fast, you know, because on Ash Wednesday, everybody fasts. Catholics do. Okay. So then the Mother General calls and says she's taking me out of the hospital against doctor's will. I could not walk. They made me hop with crutches through. Have you ever been to Istanbul?
I've not been outside of the country. My wife is from the Bahamas, so this summer I'm going to meet my in-laws. That'll be the first time I've been outside the country. I've traveled within the country extensively, but never been to Istanbul. Yeah. But here's the thing. I have a friend who has traveled several times to Istanbul because he has family there. So I'm familiar with it.
So there's a street called Taksim. I'm sure everybody's familiar with that street because they talk about it. Okay, so St. Anthony's Basilica is right on the street of Taksim. It is the last church built in Turkey, okay, in the country of Turkey. It's owned by the conventual friars, the Franciscan friars, the same ones at Granby, Massachusetts, and St. Stan's in Chicopee. So in Massachusetts. These guys were also in Turkey, so we were serving them too, and we were serving that church. So I had to hop with crutches all the way back to the Basilica of St. Anthony.
What distance are we talking? How many are we talking, miles, feet?
I don't know, maybe it was like, it could have been a mile, half a mile. I know, I think we took a taxi, but you can't take a taxi on Taksim. It's a walking street.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have vehicles because there's markets. There's markets everywhere. There's thousands and thousands of people. And then, because they wouldn't allow me to have medical care, instead of 3 months healing, it took me 6 months.
Mm.
Yeah, was not a happy camper. On top of it, it was just the sister at that time, Sister Denise. She was the French sister, as well as one of the founding sisters, and she and Patrici must have been talking because they were trying to again break down my spirits. Then they said, "Oh, you're too ill," because I lost a lot of weight. I was skinny as a rail. I used to be like, oh, probably when I entered, I was like 150 pounds. I went down to like 115, okay? So it just showed there was stress. And I looked very sickly. So they brought me to Selçuk, which is Nightingale Mountain, Mary's house. And it's basically, do you know Mariam Anna Evi? It's a house in Turkey, supposedly where the Blessed Virgin Mary lived, you know, according to the Ephesus tradition. So we were stationed there, and this time we were stationed with the Franciscan Capuchins. Well, one of the friars knew that I was having a hard time. Well, all of them knew that we were having a hard time, you know. And I had a spiritual director, but he wasn't really helpful because he was just listening to what Patrici was saying. He's like, well, you got to persevere through this. I was having nightmares. I was suicidal. I was having hallucinations, whatever. They were not helping me, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what? So I started searching. I'm like, I need medicine. I went back to my medical, you know, thinking. And I said, I need medicine. I'm in pain, and I need something to calm me down. So I got in trouble for, like, going through the cabinets and stuff like that. But in the process, I found out, you know, I knew they practice penance and stuff like that, but I found, like, a discipline and a silice. And then I found out later, you know, earlier I found out that sisters did do that. It's in the constitutions, actually, of the Sisters of Mother Mary Immaculate. It was there anyway, to do that penance. We had chapter of faults, too. And I remember sister yelling at me so much that I was just crying the whole night, and she just left me there. So, but going back to it is medical neglect, okay? There was the physical abuse, the spiritual abuse, the breaking down of the body, the soul, the mind, the heart, you know, you name it. It was happening. And I'm just like, how much more can I take this? Then they said, you're really sick, so we're going to send you back to Italy. Okay. I was so sick. They were so happy that I lost so much weight that they could tie a money belt around me full of all currency from all different countries. I was embezzling money into Italy from Turkey.
So they're using you The SMMI is using you as a mule.
Yes.
To smuggle money into other countries.
Yes. Yes. They duct taped me. They were so happy. I lost so much weight. They're like, oh, yes, we can smuggle. I said, why can't you put it in the bag? They says, well, no, because customs will take it. I says, well, why would customs take it? Because I didn't quite understand the laws and everything like that, mm-hmm. you know, because they wouldn't let you be educated. You know, they censored a lot of books, a lot of information. You're only allowed to read what they give you, and that's it.
Thank you once again for joining us here on the Cult of SMMI. Once again, if you or a family member were part of the SMMI, please reach out to me, strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. Thank you once again. Take care of yourselves and each other.